contrary to popular belief, I have class. I did grab some tater tots. I don't want to get on the scale.
Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is with you here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And the podcast is yours at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, right there at JoeBucksFan.com and other platforms. All the fun, Ira. You know who it's presented by. Who presents the fun?
BillCurryFord.com. Why not?
There you go. Bill Curry Ford. That is where you purchase a new vehicle, period. Or a used vehicle, certified, pre-owned. They've got a tremendous situation going on with their certified inventory. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. Financing available less than 1%. And it's just a great program. And, of course, they have the lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, our friends, family-owned for 62 years. And Sean Sullivan, our good buddy, the GM, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, he is giving away $500, a $500 gift card with every custom order of a vehicle. No deposit necessary. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. Thanksgiving, Sage, when you head over to visit your brother-in-law, the chef, who crushes it every year, and you show up with some backup Brussels sprouts and a bottle of water, you know, this time you can be a sport and bring some Big Storm beer or perhaps some Big Storm spirits. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find your local tap room. And, of course, look at all the beers that are available in so many stores. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. It's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And, Sage, you may not know this, but anybody can go shop the Big Storm line of spirits at BigStormDistillery.com and get it shipped to you. Big Storm Distillery, produced locally and really top-shelf stuff. BigStormDistillery.com. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk more about them later, but that's your first phone call 24/7 if you have a disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Ira, I got some exciting questions for you, Sage, but first, how you doing?
All right, couple of things, Steve. It's going to be a special Thanksgiving this week because not only are we taking our Ford Escape across the state, our son, Sam, will be showing up in his brand new Ford 150, which he is picking up at Bill Curry Ford, and I'm going to be there with him, picking him up at the airport. We're going straight over to see Sean Sullivan. He's going to sign all the paperwork, climb into his plush vehicle. I might spring for lunch, Steve. I might. But we're going to reconvene on Thursday over at my brother-in-law's. And you're right. He does the soup to nuts. He won't let my wife make anything. Can't even make string beans, Steve. Can't even make it. But, Steve, we're showing up with a big jug of Maker's Mark. And that makes up for a lot of stuff, right, Lee? A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he wants that every year, and we bring it to him every year, the good stuff. As far as football's concerned, Lee, I'll kick it off like this. I watched the game, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Looks like the Falcons aren't going away, Lee. You can call them lucky. You can call them assy. Say they beat a bad team, whatever you want to call it. They made the plays down the stretch. Lee, they win the games that they should win, you know, and all of a sudden they're up. 5-6, if the Bucks stumble in Cleveland, which I don't think they will, Lee, they'll be back in a tie with the Bucks having the edge. Lee, we don't need this thing going down to the last game in Atlanta. We don't need that, Lee. We need this thing decided well before that.
I absolutely agree with you. I know we're getting ahead of our skis here, but I don't like the Bucks' chances that last game in Atlanta because they're still hacked off about how they lost to the Bucks. They're going to come at them everything they've got. And if there's a playoff bid on the line, I don't even want to think about that. I watched the Browns and Bills. The reason why I watched that, obviously, is the Browns play the Bucks this coming Sunday. The Browns are kind of scary in the sense that they've got talent, but they're just kind of discombobulated, if that makes sense. Myles Garrett's still a nightmare. Nick Chubb is still damn hard to bring down. They're a feisty team. They're not that good, but they're a feisty team. And then I read an article in The Athletic where there's about ready to be a revolt with the defensive coordinator. Players can't stand him, and they're about ready to go nuts. I think the fact that Deshaun Watson returning might refocus them. But I mean, he's not returning for a couple weeks, but this is pretty much a must win for the Browns. Reason why that is, you know, if they lose another game, they're done. They're toast. If they win another game, it's like a bridge to get to Deshaun Watts. Then who knows what happens after that.
I know what you're saying, Lee. They got some talented players. Barrett's very good. Denzel Ward's a good corner. Chubb's a very good running back. But, Steve, they're dysfunctional. I mean, the Browns always are, Steve. They're the Browns. There's a lot of dissension going on there. Until Watson takes charge under center, they got no quarterback. Their receivers are weak. I think this is a very favorable matchup. We'll talk about it more later this week in our podcast, Steve. But, you know, the Browns, you go in and saying, hey, that's a talented team, and they never do anything, Steve, and this year's not any different.
They're not as good as Atlanta. You know, they're not very good. So the Bucs really should take care of business. But, of course, you know, unless you're a miserable team this year in the NFL, you're dangerous. And Cleveland is dangerous at home, I would think. And, you know, the Bucs haven't played well enough to assume they're going to steamroll anybody. So we got to be careful with that. The Atlanta thing, I wanted to ask you this, Ira, because it is Hall of Fame time of year coming up. And I did want to ask you a question as far as what is the timeline? Because I know it's different than in years past for the folks out there who want to know about Rondé Barber. What are his steps? What's the hurdle he has to clear? When is the vote this year? It's no longer at the Super Bowl. So I want you to clear everybody up on that. But first I wanted to ask you, in that Falcons game, Sage, Cordarrelle Patterson set the NFL mark with his ninth return for a touchdown, the NFL record. He's a four-time All-Pro when it comes to special teams, extremely versatile player. My question to you is, does a guy like that, for the fans who just, you know, aren't sure, Devin Hester is a three-time All-Pro, for clarification. Patterson's a four-timer. Is Cordarrelle Patterson a Hall of Famer as far as being a incredible utility player and, you know, one of the top returners in history?
He's not going to have a busting can if I got anything to do with it, Lee. And I'm still on the committee. So if his name comes up, well, you know, in 10 years, I'm not going to be on the committee, I don't think. But if I was sitting in that room, I would push back very strongly against Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm not even a Devin Hester guy, Lee. And the push for Hester is that he is unquestionably, and I don't know if I agree with it, but the word is thrown around, he is by far the greatest return man in NFL history. I don't know if that's true. Even if it is, I think he's got a hard road to Canton. But he did make the finalists, and he was talked about in the room last year. I don't see Patterson the same way. Hester had a kickoff return to open a Super Bowl. That opened some eyes. I think Tony Dungy spent all week talking about kicking away from Devin Hester that day. And Lee, the first kick goes right to Devin Hester.
I know.
And he goes 95 before you know it. So I don't think Patterson has any chance. I know what Steve's saying with the all pros, but, you know, I think Hester has done more as a receiver than Cordarrelle Patterson. I think other than returning, I think Hester's the better player. I don't think either of them are going to make it, and they don't have my vote at this point.
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Good point, Lee. Good point. What about Billy White Shoes Johnson? What about him?
That guy was a game changer.
Steve Tasker trying to get in, you know, one of the great special teams cover guys. Can't get much traction. Maybe he'll get in as a senior down the line. It's difficult, guys. It's difficult. You know, there's one punter in. There's a couple of kickers in. I think Vinatieri's going to get in. Justin Tucker maybe down the line. But it's difficult, Steve, as a special teams guy. Difficult.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, Sage, a very similar yardage as a receiver between Patterson and Hester. And, of course, Patterson has over 2,000 yards rushing. So he's got more yards from scrimmage than Hester. And I knew Hester was a finalist, so wanted to ask you that. So what's the timetable for Barber?
As we tape this, the announcement of the semifinalists. It's usually 25. The original list was 120, Lee. So we cut down from 120 to 25. I got an advanced copy. They sent it to the voters, told us to embargo it. There must have been a three-way tie, Lee, at the bottom because there's 28 names instead of 25.
Oh, wow.
28 semifinalists, and I don't think I'm revealing anything very controversially. And unfortunately, you know, I have to tell Buck fans, Simeon Rice is not on the list. He's not there. He made it about 3 years ago. He didn't make the cut to 15, so he's never been discussed. But he's never even been back to the 25, and that includes this year. Simeon Rice is now an afterthought with these voters. I don't know if we have to get a campaign going. Rondé Barber obviously is on the list of semifinalists. The 28 will be cut down to 15, gentlemen, and it will be announced, I believe, shortly before Christmas. And then we have the date of the meeting, which I think is January 17th or 18th. It'll be done by Zoom, Lee. It's not going to be done in person, unfortunately. I like it better in person. This is like the third year in a row we're doing it on a Zoom call. I'd be shocked if Rondé Barber's name is not on the list of finalists. After all, Lee made the top 10 last year. I mean, that's the last step before you get in. So he made progress last year, and it's hard to believe he would be left off the 15. So you would think, all things being equal, Lee, Rondé Barber will be up for election for the class of 2023. And guys, I'm just telling you, there's five spots maximum, and I think all of them are going to be used every year. Five. I don't think you're going to see too many years where the three or four go in. So let's say there's five maximum, and you got Darrell Revis and Steve Joe Thomas played for a lot of bad, speaking of the Browns, a lot of bad Cleveland team. I'm not sure he was ever in a playoff game, Steve.
No, I don't think so.
But he made like 10 Pro Bowls and maybe seven or eight first-team All-Pros as a left tackle. Great, great player. I think both of those guys are going to get in, Steve. So what does that mean for Rondé Barber? Well, it means 13 guys are fighting for three spots. You do the math, gentlemen. That's not easy. And I'm the first one to say Rondé Barber is one hell of a candidate. But 13 doesn't go into three very easily, Lee. It's not a snap decision. Not when there's a couple of first-year eligibles that are going to get in. That always screws things up a little bit.
Ira, so we wrap up the Hall of Fame chatter here. Mike Evans, he is, Sage, 88 yards from passing Shannon Sharpe, Hall of Fame tight end, to take over 50th place all time on the career receiving yards list. And he's only 329 yards away with seven games for hitting that 1,000-yard mark to extend his NFL record to start a career for nine consecutive seasons. Sage, let's just say Evans goes through this year and, you know, gets 500 yards. He breaks it. He ends up 48th in the NFL all time receiving after this season. Has he done enough? Is he in?
I would not be too optimistic about that at this point. Lee, the good news is he should have 5 years ahead of him. He's not old. He doesn't look like he's slowing down. So, Lee, you put 13 straight years of 1,000 yards. I mean, it's tough to leave you out. But he's not. Lee, he's not an open and shut case. He's just not. You know, he doesn't have 130 touchdowns, you know, like Chris Carter. He doesn't average 18 yards a catch, you know, like Terrell Owens. You know, who knows where he's going to stand in the lifetime receptions and lifetime receiving yards and lifetime touchdowns. And he doesn't have a lot of All-Pros. He doesn't. He's got Pro Bowls, but All-Pros count more. So it's not open and shut for Mike Evans. It's just not. That's the way it is. Ask Reggie Wayne. Ask Torrey Holt. They got numbers. Ask Steve Smith. Ask Andre Johnson. It's not open and shut for Mike Evans. Certainly, the way his streak is right now, I think he'd have a tough time getting in right now if his career ended.
You mean like if he blew out his knee against Cleveland?
I think if his career ended, I think he'd have a tough time getting in. Yes.
Interesting. Here's a projection. I don't know what you think about this, Ira. Here's a projection. When you first got on that Hall of Fame committee list, how many people do you think ever played fantasy football?
Very few.
I would argue probably none. And fantasy football is a big influence on the NFL. Maybe not so much in the locker room, but it's a big influence on the image of the NFL. So you go, let's say Evans plays five more years. Then he's eligible 5 years after that. So you're looking at 10, 15 years down the road when he could be discussed. How many more people in that room you think one time or another played fantasy football?
I'd say 80%.
And I think Evans, it hurts him because he does not put up fantasy football numbers. You hear people, oh, this guy's a better receiver. This guy's a better receiver. Like, the hell he is. Oh, he puts up numbers. We're in an age where if you can't slap a blankety-blank number on something, it doesn't exist.
Very interestingly, now touchdowns count in fantasy. Steve, Evans is being hurt markedly by the fact that Brady doesn't have a lot of touchdown passes this year. I used to call Evans the touchdown maker. He's got 3 or 4 years with at least 10 touchdown catches. Steve, that's impressive.
I was going to say the other way around is that I thought Lee was going there is that he is a fantasy play for years and is known for that. If Mike Evans ended this season with five more, just for some perspective, with five more touchdowns, right, he would have played 9 years. That's how many years Calvin Johnson played, and they'd have the same amount of touchdowns.
He
would also have as many touchdowns as Antonio Brown if Mike Evans ended his career right now and you know, Brown played an extra few years on him. So he is a huge touchdown maker historically in the NFL.
He is. Lee, what hurts him maybe is yards after catch, yards per catch. But he's had some years where he's a first down force. Lee, let's admit it. You know, all the Buck offensive numbers are suppressed this year. All of them. You know, Godwin through injury. Evans, he missed the game. Brady with 12 touchdown passes. It's hard to compute.
Hey, Sage, Tom Brady, we had the bye week. Even with that week off, he leads the NFC in passing yards, and he sits at fourth in the NFL behind Mahomes, Allen, and Joe Burrow in total passing yards, and he leads the NFL in passing attempts. What is your take when you hear those numbers?
Well, the first thing I think of is, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and it was stunning to me. It was absolutely stunning. With all the avalanche of criticism towards Leftwich for most of this season. He runs too much. He runs too much. They're a throwing team. What the hell's he doing? Lee, he's been remarkably consistent as a play caller. And by that I mean 2020, 66% pass run. Last year, 67% pass run. This year's about 66%. I mean, it is remarkable consistency. Lee, I'm a little surprised that Brady's still leading the league in pass attempts after they ran the ball 44 times in Munich. But that shows you how much he was throwing the ball before Week 10. They're wearing him out. And, Lee, no matter what Rashad White does down the stretch, I'm with you, Lee. This is a pass-first offense. It should be. They've got Tom Brady. They got Evans. Godwin's getting healthy. Jones is back. It's a passing team, Lee. I got no problem with that. And the thing that sticks out is the touchdowns, Lee. It's just the touchdowns, a lot of field goals, and not enough touchdowns. That to me is the story of the 2022 Buck offense.
Oh, absolutely. Way too many field goals, not enough touchdowns. You nailed it, Ira.
Hey, Sage, Lee, your thoughts. Back at practice, we've got Luke Goedeke, Russell Gage, and Giovanni Bernard, all three back at practice. Wednesday is the first injury report of the week, so we'll really get a sense of where these guys are. Gage has been battling his hamstrings since the summer and has missed games, and Goedeke with the foot injury has missed a few games, and Leverett has stepped in, and Bernard's been out since week two with an issue with his ankle. Does this mean anything to you guys? What are your thoughts about these three guys coming back and what that may mean?
Lee, I don't characterize any of those three as difference makers. I just don't. And if Jones can show that same burst he showed in before your disbelieving eyes, Lee, in Munich, when you couldn't believe that he took it to the house, looked like the old Julio, if that continues, I don't see a big role for Russell Gage going forward. Unless somebody goes down. Godwin's coming on, Lee. I got him in my fantasy league, speaking of that, Lee. He gets a lot of targets. Brady loves him. And sooner or later, he's going to put some numbers up. And Evans is Evans. And Otten's coming on. So Giovanni Bernard, I mean, what are we looking at, Lee? Giovanni Bernard, I was crowing about him a year ago, Lee. He didn't do much last year. He didn't.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to do much.
And Gedeky, Lee, I mean, it looks like he lost his job, and deservedly so.
I'm not going to rag on Gedeky, but it seems as though the offensive line has taken a turn for the better with Leverett. Now, you know, I'm not saying that the absolute complete reason for that is Gedeky's out of the lineup, but you know me. What I always say, Ira, don't fix something that's not broken.
Yes.
And right now the offensive line's not broken. And I there's a couple guys that I monitor who they kind of focus on offensive lines. Ben Muth, I think. Last name is Muth. He writes for Football Outsiders, was a tackle at Stanford. The other guy's is Brandon Thorne. Those guys focus in the offensive line, and they've been very high on Leverett the last couple weeks. They think Leverett's the reason why the offensive line is suddenly solidified. So, you know, proof is in the pudding. Gedeky was out. Leverett comes in. The offensive line plays better. I'm not a big believer in coincidences.
You know, Steve, one thing we haven't really talked about, Steve, during the two-game winning streak, and it's interesting, the absence of Shaq Barrett, Steve. We haven't really noticed it. We haven't talked about it. And that's why I think, and Lee's with me on this one, I really noticed Trajan Schajinka in Munich. I thought he was a big, big factor in the first half. He looked good. He looked disruptive. Maybe there's a little more wiggle room for him now without Shaq Barrett. Maybe he'll play a little more. I think they're going to need him, guys. I know they got Hicks and they got Vea and whatever. First of all, Hicks got to stay healthy, Lee. That's number one. But number two, Shaq Barrett is not easily replaced. He's their guy. He's their main guy off the edge. And he's not going to be there. He won't be there. And if they make the playoffs, he won't be there. And you would think that's going to be a telling blow. But, Lee, I like the way Schajinka played. I wonder if he can keep it up, Lee.
Well, you sure hope so. And maybe they were using him in a different way. I'm not privy to that. But the first half at Munich, he looked pretty sharp. I thought he was he looked like a different player.
Sage, we talked about it. I don't want people to think, if they're just tuning in, that we ignored that such a huge loss. But it's a huge, huge question mark, because I can't really think of a team, and I've put a little energy into it, I can't think of a team that actually lost its top pass rusher, a Pro Bowl pass rusher, and then in the middle of the season, and then didn't replace him, and then went on to win a Super Bowl. I mean, pass rushers get paid the big bucks for a reason, and the Bucs really need a tremendous finish. And I'm not talking they can beat Cleveland without Shaq Barrett, and they can win games and make the playoffs and win the division. But to win the Super Bowl, you need some ferocious pass rush. And someone's going to have to step up and pull this off. I don't know if Trajan Schajinka is up to it, but he's certainly going to have, you know, more games to build on. I don't know if he'll get that much more time on the field, Ira, because he already was playing a ton. You know, he's got a high motor and he was playing a lot. Maybe he'll play a little bit more, but I mean, it was encouraging in Seattle. What I like about Trajan Schajinka, you know, a year and a half in now, and the guy never even appears on the injury report. So it's very encouraging that he's, you know, he's getting smarter, he's getting stronger, and he just doesn't get nicked up.
You're right. And you would think that Shaq Barrett's absence has to show up at a certain point. It has to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, look at the game they're going to play the Bengals. And, Lee, if you don't put pressure on Burrow, he'll carve you up. He will.
Yes, he will.
And they're scoring a lot of points with Ja'Marr Chase on the shelf. And yep. I think he's back this week. He's supposed to practice, so... You know, they got Higgins, they got Boyd, they got Mixon, and they got Burrow. You better put some heat on Burrow. Now, they don't have a very good offensive line, and of course, they got a former Buck starter at guard. Maybe it could show up in a game like that, not so much against the 49ers, because I'm not too worried about Garoppolo, and the rest of the Buck opponents don't scare me, Lee, the rest of the season. You would think they're going to miss Shaq Barrett sorely in some of these games. We will see. I think Trajan's going to be a key figure. Anthony Nelson will chip in. But, you know, Trajan coming off that right edge, that blind side, if he takes a step up, which he's capable of, that could go a long way in this being a dominating defense.
Sage, we talked about it before, and we need to know it all. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are your first phone call if you find mold in your home or water damage, flood, fire damage, storm damage, whatever it might be, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately.
Pick up the darn damn phone and call Florida's Elite Restoration, will you? Florida's Elite Restoration.
24/7, they'll be there to help you. And they'll give you a free assessment of what's going on in your property. They do fantastic work, and they also know how to work with insurance companies, and that is so critical. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster, so he's going to make sure it's navigated properly and you don't get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, they've got $500 for your listeners. All you got to do is mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman when you call. They'll come out and give you a free assessment. If you move forward with an agreement to do some work that you need done, they will give you $500 back. Maybe that's money you use toward your deductible with your insurance company, or just $500 off. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Put that website in your favorites, in your phone. That's your first phone call when you have a problem. Don't get ripped off. Get a free assessment. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Florida's Elite Restoration.
Here's one for you, Ira. And this shocked me when I read it last week. Absolutely shocked me. The Bucks weren't ranked. Well, they were ranked second last week, obviously entering week 11 games. Take a guess how many sacks the Bucks have. Ranking.
Oh, ranking? 11th?
Tied for 5th.
Wow.
I was shocked. And obviously last week they were second in the league.
Steve, I'll give you one, Stevie, while we're doing some deep dives, Steve. I know it sounds crazy, but there is a stat, a defensive stat, where it's like scoring percentage. What percentage of the opponent's drives do they end up getting points? Points. So that counts field goals, touchdowns. I think the Bucks are first in the league. Defensively, wow. It's like 30% of the drives of opponents end up with any points scored. I mean, Steve, this defense has taken some knocks. People didn't like it in Pittsburgh. People didn't like it in Carolina. They certainly didn't like it with Baltimore. Overall, this has been a damn good year for the Buck defense, I think.
Well, there's also two other reasons for that. One, you get more points. The other team gets more points when you turn the ball over. And the Bucks haven't been turning the ball over. They're not throwing picks or fumbling in their own end.
There's no short fields.
And you combine that with having a stud punter, you know, that helps it all too. So that's the old complimentary football they talk about. But no, the defense has been good. It's certainly good enough to be better than 5-5. And that's, you know, one thing we're all hanging our hat on going forward here is that the defense is good enough if Leftwich and the offense can just find a way to just revive what they've already done before. You know, everybody will be in great shape, and the Bucks will fulfill that record prediction that you made in the last podcast, Ira, that they'll go 10-7. That's what the Sage has said. Ira, I got to ask you this, because you not only serve as the Sage of this podcast, you're sort of like the sports psychologist of the Tampa Bay area. Is that fair?
I've been called worse things, Isbit.
All right, so I got to ask you this, but first I'll remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, that's your dealership right there, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Bill Curry Ford, visit BillCurryFord.com to shop the inventory. That includes service and body work, big full-service family dealership at Bill Curry Ford. Sage, so this has two parts to it. So last week, I'm listening to Matt Cassel talk, you know, the former Patriots backup quarterback, made a Pro Bowl as a QB with the Chiefs. And he talked about how Belichick and Brady, that there's such psycho believers in the mentality of football after Thanksgiving that they are constantly preaching of that's when you're ready and that's when the season really starts and that's when it matters. And he said they preach it nonstop all year long, that they believe it and they get everyone else to believe it. And that's why their teams are always better, later in November. And then they pick it up from there. And sort of no surprise now, the Patriots and the Bucks are on 2-game winning streaks. And he said Brady, who's his friend, really and truly believes it. Like, he's crazy about it. Fast forward to Brady's podcast on Sirius. And it wasn't the usual Brady podcast because it was must listen radio since he had Charles Barkley as his special guest. And just as a quick one, Charles Barkley told a great story years ago. Sage, you'll remember he was arrested for throwing a guy through a bar window. And
yes.
After the guy threw a drink on him in the bar, he was having a cocktail with Clyde Drexler. This guy threw a drink on him. Barkley chases him down, picks him up, and throws him out the window. And, you know, so Jim Gray says to Charles Barkley, he's like, oh, you know, Charles, today you'd be canceled and you would go to jail and you would this and, you know, cancel culture and you wouldn't be able to do anything anymore. He's like, Jim, I went to jail. He's like, I got arrested for that. And anyway, he fast forwarded and he said, eventually, you know, his case came up and it was over and the judge asked him if he had any regrets. And Barkley says, classic line, he says, I regret that it was a first floor window. But anyway, Sage, so he's on, Brady's on there and he starts talking at the very end. They finally talk a little football and he goes right to, well, you know, it's right after Thanksgiving and, you know, the season is all about how you play after Thanksgiving, goes on a little rant and they say goodbye. So he really believes this, Ira. Do you think the team believes it? Do you think it makes any difference or it's just something that Brady has in his head?
Well, we don't need any more proof than Brady's first year in Tampa, Lee. Do we need any more proof than that? 7-5. You know, I think they had lost 3 out of 4, Lee, at that point. Bye week comes in, and they never look back. Not only do they win, but they win a lot of these games decisively down the stretch, 8 in a row. They proved it to me right then and there, Lee. I didn't think that team had any chance to win a Super Bowl, even with Brady. Not at that point. You know, Brady's will. It's a state of mind. Nobody exhibits it better than Brady. Belichick the same way. Now, Lee, that doesn't mean that Belichick isn't going to be fuming about a loss on October 5th if the team commits 5 turnovers. I mean, that's unacceptable, even if it's in October. And, you know, you need these games to build up a war chest and get playoff seeding or whatever. But I don't need to be convinced after what I saw Brady do in 2020. We may be getting a repeat this year. It's too early to know. But the NFC is wide open, in my opinion. Wide ass open. And some of the teams that you figured, like the Rams, the Packers, with veteran quarterbacks, they're toast, Lee. They're going nowhere. They're toast. And as you will see in my column, I'm betting on Brady against the field and feeling very good about it. So,
wow.
What Brady did in 2020 can't be denied in terms of turning it on once the leaves start to fall. And, you know, who's better at a state of mind and impressing it on the rest of a team than Tom Brady? Nobody.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you say, Ira, but I'm just, maybe it's superstition, but they got to win this division. They got to win the division. Yep. And then we can start talking about what happens down the road. But right now it's about winning the division.
I can't even think about them not winning this division, Steve. I just can't.
Well, look who's calling the plays, and that's all you need to know.
Well, Ira, you did send Todd Bowles a happy birthday message, and you know what you sent him wasn't very nice. But you know, as an older guy, you can zing a younger guy like Bowles who just turned 60. But if they don't win the division, I'm afraid to hear or see what you would text him.
It would be shameful not to win this division. I mean, do either of us think that the Atlanta Falcons are about to go on some kind of a run? No. They're not. They got 6 games left. They'll probably go 3-3, and they'll finish 8-9. You know, that's the Atlanta Falcons. And by the way, that would be a hell of a job by Arthur Smith, Lee. That's one hell of a job.
Well, he's doing a hell of a job, and Steve and I kind of crossed swords about this on the last podcast. I think Arthur Smith, right now, Arthur Smith mops the floor with Leftwich as far as getting more out of your players.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of good jobs being, look at Rivera, Lee, in Washington. That's a hell of a job. Yeah, that's a hell of a job. By the way, Steve, I'm going to digress for 30 seconds. That's all, Isbits, 30 seconds. But it is the Ira Kaufman podcast. And Lee, here's where you chime in and say, Ira, you're showing your bias. You're showing your partisanship. But I was watching the Chief Charger game, and I'm telling you guys, and it's not going to happen. I know it. He's got no chance. But, Lee, Travis Kelce might be the best player in football. I mean, this guy is phenomenal, Lee. He's phenomenal. He's got 11 touchdown catches in 11 games as a tight end. He's got a 3-touchdown game. He's got a 4-touchdown game. They know where Mahomes is going. They can't stop him. Travis Kelce is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Ira, you finished gushing already about Travis Kelce. Come on now, man. What is this? What the hell are you doing? I got two things to run past you, Sage. Quickies. Rich Eisen called the game in Germany, Bucks and Seahawks, NFL Network. So he actually had a segment on his show strictly talking about the production meeting with Tom Brady, you know, before the game kicks off. One thing he said, he had two big takeaways. Well, there were several, but two big ones that I think are most interesting. One was he said, I point blank asked Brady about Odell Beckham Jr. Brady said he hadn't talked to him in a long time. So it leads you to believe the Bucks probably weren't that interested. What a long time means, I don't know. But that's one thing I was curious to see what you thought. Number two was he asked Brady about the statement that he made 2 weeks ago about the Bucks' poor effort on the field. And he said Brady dug in. He would not back off the statement and would not back off at all. And he said Kurt Warner asked him, yeah, well, what are you seeing, or what, you know, sort of like to ask him something related to that. And he said Brady kind of almost glared. He said he wouldn't say glare, but he almost glared at Warner and was kind of like, hey, you know, it's on the film. What do you think of those things?
I've said it before. Effort, you question effort. It is very sensitive. Lee, Brady doesn't do anything by accident. Lee, you know that. We've seen him for 2.5 years. If we know anything about Brady, it's that. Nothing falls out of his mouth by accident. He's very calculated. He was pissed off with the work that was being produced. Not this execution nonsense that ties everything into a nice bow and you don't know who the hell to complain about.
Communication.
Yeah, communication and execution, and we can fix these things. I mean, you know, they're all fixable. Yeah, right, Lee, they're all fixable.
Yeah, we'll fix them then.
You start talking about effort, you raise some eyebrows. Now, Steve, I know that Bowles was asked about Brady's comments, and he wouldn't really go there, and I don't expect him to, but I think Brady was on to something. Who watches these players more than Brady does? Who breaks down the film more than Brady does? Who's on the field with these guys? And, Lee, you got to think Brady was talking about mostly offensive players. Don't you, Lee?
I would think so, yeah.
You know, is he going to weigh in on Carlton Davis? I mean, I don't think so. And I just picked Carlton Davis, you know, out of a hat. Brady didn't back up from the statement and say that he didn't mean what he said. Yes, he did. He meant exactly what he said. Steve, what was the first part of that before the
Beckham.
About the very first thing I think of in terms of Brady and Beckham, maybe Brady felt burned by Antonio Brown. And Lee, I'm not trying to put Beckham's off field any issues comparable to Antonio Brown, because Lee, there's very few people that are comparable to Antonio Brown when you list his transgressions. I don't think they're in bad shape at wide receiver. Now, Steve might have been talking about a month ago, but Beckham wasn't ready to play, Lee. He wasn't ready. And now I don't think it's a huge priority for the Bucks. Yeah, some guys could get hurt, Lee. They could. But I think Brady's got enough weapons. I think he's got enough weapons. I think he's got enough protection. If they give a little bit more effort, Lee, I think the Bucks will be fine.
Well, I agree with you about protection. The Julio Jones thing in health, I'm not going to bank on him being around come January. I sure hope he is. You know, the last 2 or 3 years, if anything, he's demonstrated he can't get on the field or stay on the field, I should say. So, no, I don't. I think depth is an issue. Russell Gage has been a complete no-show. I mean, what's Russell Gage done? Basically nothing. He's been hurt ever since Buck got him.
Scotty starting to contribute, Lee. Scotty Miller's starting to show a little.
Only because there was other threats to getting people off of him. You know, Julio was out there. Godwin's getting healthy. Mike Evans is out there. So I'm not ready to jump on the Scotty Miller bandwagon either. So, yeah, I mean, all things being even, Scotty Miller, Odell Beckham, really? Really? I'm thinking that, yeah, they could still use Beckham because it's great unknown about Julio. By the way, in Munich, when he scored that touchdown, did you guys think like I did when he got hit at the goal line, he wasn't going to get up?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did, Lee. Yes, I did.
I thought the same thing. I said, oh, there goes Julio.
He took a good shot, Stevie. Took a good shot.
Ira, to be fair, right after the touchdown, I saw you immediately grab your mimosa and the final bite of your Ira Kaufman quesadilla. So I don't think you had a reaction other than feed yourself.
You know, Lee, he monitors everything I do. Everything I do is monitored.
It's hard not to monitor you when you're lifting people's fries off their plates.
Steve, I did grab some tater tots, right, Steve? I did.
You did, yeah. You gave the famous, "You gonna eat those?" You know, as the hand goes out. All right, Ira, we're gonna be getting out of here, and we will be looking at another podcast this week, of course. And I wanted to throw this past you, Sage, because you are the Sage of Tampa Bay sports, and this is sort of a unique development in the state of Tampa Bay sports. The Athletic, which has been out there as a pay-per-view site, a long-form journalism, whatever you want to call it. They started 6 years ago, came into Tampa and all sorts of other markets with big beat writers and big plans for coverage. And as of this week, they've completely abandoned the three major sports in town. And that's it. Not even 6 full years. And they're out. They pulled out of Tampa, which is unique because Tampa has been such an incredible sports market the last few years. You know, Tom Brady's here. The Lightning, what they've accomplished, and of course the Rays are an excellent team. So your thoughts as far as the Sage of Tampa Bay sports, your thought there?
Steve, as a guy who's been steeped in journalism, you know, since 1976, Lee, I certainly am not going to raise a glass to the partial demise of a publication. Lee, it seems like they overextended themselves when they came in. They said they were going to run local newspapers out of business. I didn't like it when they said that, Lee. Then they proceeded to poach newspaper reporters and paid them a lot of money. Good for them. Lee, it's just striking to me that the Buccaneers with Tom Brady, the Lightning, a very, very successful NHL team, and the Rays, a perennial playoff team, who, Lee, you've mentioned many times, their TV ratings are very strong. They don't gather much traction as far as the data that the Athletic accumulates, Lee. And as a result, all three teams lack a writer from the Athletic covering these teams on an extensive basis. None of them. The Dolphins not covered. The Jaguars, well, that's another story, Lee. Jacksonville, I think, is a soft market. But, Lee, maybe you can explain how none of these three teams in Tampa are going to be covered by the Athletic because the numbers don't justify it.
Business 101. You put out a product that people value enough, they'll buy it. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're taking a shot at it. No, I'm not. Not at all. If people valued what the Athletic was putting out, mind you, I'm a subscriber. I raised my right hand. I'm a subscriber. Have been since they started covering Tampa Bay sports and will continue to be so. I love a lot of their writers. But if they were putting out something that, you know, Joe Sixpack or Mr. White Collar Worker or whomever valued, they would buy and subscribe and there would be beat writers. It's really no more complicated than that.
You know, Lee, they had the impression that these long-form feature stories were the way to go. And Lee, I don't really think that works a sustainable model.
Back when I was in college, I'll never forget this. I had a professor, Professor Goodwin. Professor Goodwin had data from Gannett, USA Today. At the time, that was a big deal. Gannett and USA Today, that was a big deal. Their data suggested that unless a governor got shot, or unless someone, a Speaker of the House's plane went down, or something very significant, never, ever, ever write anything over 12 inches. And for people not in journalism, that's roughly 15 paragraphs. And that's when people didn't have the patience of a housefly. Now people have the patience of a housefly. Like, they need it now. They don't get it now, they're gone. So imagine what people's attention span are now.
Steve, I'll give you an example. Peter King's Monday column, nobody's more plugged in than Peter King. He gives you a lot of nuggets. But, Steve, after a while, you know, the thing takes 20 minutes to read. And about halfway through, you start skimming. He doesn't want you to skim, but you're skimming. That's just the nature of it, right, Lee?
Everybody's got X amount of hours per day. Steve had taught me this too. You can't make 25 hours into a day so you can read extra stuff. Everybody's got X amount of time in a day. And you can't inhale all this information that you want to inhale if you're like a psycho and like, oh, I got to read this. I got to read that. I got, you know, sooner or later, you know, you're going to miss out on something. But, and I like Peter King. Heck, I talked to him quite often. He was joking around with me in Munich. But son of a gun, people go to his column for NFL coverage. So knock off the 12 inches talking to one of your buddies at Sports Illustrated about the damn World Cup. Knock off all the baseball coverage. You know, people come to your column to learn about football. And I hate to tell people this. I think you gave me a compliment. You heard me say it one time. When people start embracing the fact that we live in a football country and the world revolves around football, a better society will be. So, you know, if you're a football writer, stick to football. If you're a political writer, stick to Washington. If you're a baseball writer, stick to baseball. That's kind of arrogance. Like, all these football people want to come to my site or my column, and I'll indulge myself with 12 to 15 inches of baseball or World Cup or whatever the hell else I want to write about.
Working for the newspaper for so long, you were assigned how long a story can fit into that spot. And I was very diligent about it. There were other guys that were not diligent, and Lee knows that. And they give you 14 inches, and you turn in 22, and then you complain that it gets cut. That's on you, Lee. That's on you. But, Steve, now, you know, working for Joe Bucks Fan since 2016, I could write forever. But I've decided and settled on sort of a certain length. You know, I don't have it down to the word, but it's a certain length. And I check it, and I don't want to drone on and on. And I think, Steve, I think and I hope that when you read it and the readers read it, it's over fairly quick, Steve, and it doesn't go on and on. And I think I make a concerted effort to make sure that doesn't happen.
Hey, Sage, I don't even have an opinion. I just wanted yours. I do just want to say, though, I will disagree with when you said the long-form stuff doesn't work. I think it does work, but you got to pump out something incredible once a month where everybody says, holy crap, I got to read that. And they sit in their bathroom on the toilet and say, damn it, I got to pay the $10 to read it, but I got to read it. It only works if you're able to do that. You know, they weren't able to accomplish that in Tampa. So, you know what? They came in 2016, and you came to Joe Bucks Fan in 2016, and the Sage is still riding on his horse. And his horse is a Bill Curry Ford 2024 Escape that he's taken out to Thanksgiving to his brother-in-law. Sage, what's on the main plate for Ira, and then we'll get out of here.
My wife's brother likes to play golf on Wednesdays. I talked to him the other day, and I said, you know, hey, maybe we'll be out there 4 o'clock Wednesday. Your golf game will be totally finished. And Steve, he said to me, I'm not playing golf on Wednesday. And I said, why? And he said, I got to start cooking on Tuesday for Thursday. Ow. That tells me all I need to know. We will show up with Maker's Mark. Who the hell knows what my son's bringing? Maybe a box of donuts. Steve, to show that, you know, I got some class, Isbeth, contrary to popular belief, I have class. And I went on a site, and I'm going to give him a plug, Steve. I'm going to give him a plug. I don't think Lee or you know about this site. It's called Goldbelly. I'm not making it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's called Goldbelly, Steve. And
he's splurged.
And you can order from all kinds of restaurants all over America, all kinds of foods, and you can get it shipped. Now, Lee, it's not cheap.
No, it's not. It's damn expensive. So he's splurged.
It's damn expensive. But if you spend more than, you know, $50 or $60, you get free shipping, and that's important because, Lee, they're going to get you. Otherwise, they're going to get you on the shipping. They're going to get you. And I sent some breakfast stuff out that's supposed to arrive at his house on Tuesday, and I told him he can open the box and start munching away on Wednesday before we even arrive. So, Steve, I show a little class, a little Maker's Mark, a little Goldbelly, And I don't want to get on the scale, Lee, till sometime next week.
All right, Ira. Get out of here, Ira.